hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Would you please join me? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will... Names will never hurt me. Names will never harm me. As best I can tell, we've been telling this to our kids since the 1800s. Okay? And as I think about that, I'm like, wow, God forgive us, because we've been absolutely lying to our kids for a couple hundred years. I mean, how many know that this phrase right here is a bunch of baloney? I mean, it sounds great. Most parents have said it to their kids. I've probably said it to my kids. But I don't know that it's actually true. Because when there are negative words that are said to us or about us and we hear about it, it hurts, right? It stings. I would say most of us, if we took the time, we could think back to when we were a kid or a teenager or maybe even in recent weeks, and we could probably come up with a few names that we've been called, a few negative comments that have been said about us. Because they kind of have a way, if we're not careful, of just like sticking. They kind of have a way of actually hurting, even though the old adage said that they wouldn't. And nowadays, it doesn't seem like it's as much face-to-face negative speech that takes place, but more so, it could happen behind your back. It can even happen on social media. I mean, I have read in a recent Time magazine that 40% of all teenagers on Instagram have been bullied in some way, shape, or form on that social media platform. Something that was said, something that was posted. I mean, I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of young people. And whenever there's negative speech, whether you're a young person or an old person, it takes its toll. We are hearing in our society even of extreme cases where a young person or an adult has things posted about them, and it really affects their self-image, how they view themselves, and might even affect their future. One such case, as Time reported, took place in 2015. A 12-year-old girl, Rochester, New York, went into a coma after trying to hang herself, and a week later she passed away. And in the investigation that followed, they heard that there were a couple girls in her class at school who had made up an Instagram account with her name and then posted pictures on there and made comments on there, basically posting fake facts about her. And this hit her so hard that she tragically took that step. I mean, when there are hurtful words and there's negative speech that comes at us, let's just be honest, it hurts. It doesn't feel good, whether we're young or whether we're old. And as we go through life, I think every single one of us find that we're on the receiving end of that stick, right? The stick of being labeled, the stick of a name, or just someone saying something behind our back. And we know that we're living in a society right now that kind of tends to be negative. We hear it in every level of government. We can hear it in the workplace, maybe even in our homes. If we listen, we're hearing some negativity. And it's just kind of, in some ways you want to say almost human nature. It's kind of like just our world, probably not even a recent phenomenon for us to go to the negative. I mean, even if you look at the weather report on a certain day, what is it? 40% chance of rain. I've never seen where it says 60% chance of sunshine. It's never like that. It's always, always the negative. It's always the negative. And if we're honest, I would say that most of us, if not all of us, can find it easy to slip into that. We can find it easy to slip into negativity. Negative speech about other people. Maybe it's about their choices, or it's about their appearance. Maybe it's about their weaknesses or their faults, whether it's a relative or it's a friend, a neighbor that doesn't seem to like you. It's a coworker that's frustrating. It's your boss or someone in leadership in some area of your life that doesn't do things exactly like you think they should be done, and we can easily slip into negative speech. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, you have not yet taken that step to place your faith in Jesus Christ, you have not yet surrendered your life completely to Jesus, I've got some news for you. You get a pass on today's message. And here's why. Because as followers of Jesus, we have been called to a higher standard. I mean, 1 Peter tells us that because of God's mercy, we have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we've even been given an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I mean, come on. God has given this entrance as we've placed our faith in him into a right relationship with God. We have peace with God. We have a hope of eternal life. And what we see in the book of James, even in this specific chapter of chapter 4, is that God gives us then as his people, he gives us something called grace. James 4 says he gives us more grace, like an overflowing amount of grace, the empowerment needed to then live like a follower of Jesus, to live like someone that's like Christ. We read in Romans that now we as the people of God are to present ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. I mean, it's a big deal. And so as a follower of Jesus, we are called as people around this world to live at a higher standard, not because we are better. No, it's because God is better. And he has invited us into this relationship, into this union, into this partnership to make his name known, to represent him in this world. And we as a follower of Jesus are called to a higher standard. So for those here who are not yet followers of Jesus, I hope that you make that decision before we leave today. But for right now, you got to pass, because this passage in James chapter 4 is speaking to believers. So are all the believers, all the followers of Jesus in this room ready for what the word of the Lord says? Me too. James chapter 4, verse 11, James says, "Do not speak evil against one another." Do not speak evil against one another. In chapter 3, James had spoken about the tongue and just how it's a fire and how it can burn bridges and it can cause there to be major problems. And then he revisits what comes out of here in chapter 4. Couple times actually, but in this specific passage, he revisits it, and what he does is he unpacks what happens, what is happening whenever we speak against. In the original, this word meaning speak against, it would also mean like criticizing, saying negative things. It's negative speech about someone in order to lower the view of that person in the ears of the people that are listening to you in that moment. It's negative speech. NIV translates this word as slander. And this is what Charles Finney, who was a 19th century evangelist, this is what he said about slander. "You need not lie to be guilty of slander. To tell the truth with a design to injure is slander." It's basically to speak negative about someone, whether you think it's true or whether you don't think it's true. Either way, to speak negative, it's negative speech. There are other names that we use for it now: slamming, roasting, toasting, owning, clapping them, making fun of them, joking, passing on juicy tidbits. Some of the newer generation are calling that giving someone the real tea. There's gossip. And you might say, whoa, Pastor Keith, I think we should talk about something else right now, because I don't do any of those things. Like, never does any of that come out of my holy mouth. Well, but have you ever found yourself complaining about someone to someone else? Have you ever heard out of your own mouth come labels of this or that or this or that? You don't know everything about that person, and even if you did, does that build them up in the ears of those who are hearing you? Have you ever talked to another believer and said, "You know what, we really need to be praying for so-and-so." It's this person, it's whoever. Let me just tell you what they're going through right now. And let me tell you what they did. How many times have we done that? You see, it's very easy to talk about someone in the perceived intention of helping them. Or it's very easy to tell a story about someone with the perceived intention of saying that they're a great person, but yet inside that cloak is a dagger, right? And you're just like, ding! Just want to get one little word in, one little negative comment in there. Times when we label someone based on their appearance. They're this, they're that, that's how they look, can't believe they do this, their choices, their faults, their weaknesses, their talent levels in this area. It's negative speech, and I'm ashamed to say that I've heard it come out of my own mouth. And as I've studied this passage, I had to take time to really reflect on why. Why has negative speech come out of my mouth? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. In the past, why has negative speech come out of my mouth? And what I discovered as I really took some time to think about this was that all of the reasons why negative speech has come out of my mouth in the past, all of the reasons were selfish. Every single one of them. Here's some of my reasons that I came up with. It was in that moment to make that person look bad. It was to make myself look better. It was sometimes to try to get a laugh. Say this, say that, get people. Let's chuckle a little bit. It was to make myself feel better. Have you ever wanted to just share something with someone just to get it off your chest about someone else? Like, oh, I just get it off my chest. And doesn't it feel good for like 2 seconds? You're like, oh, you unload. You puke on them, right? And you feel good for a minute, and then you smell your breath, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did that. And then your poor friend, yeah. Just to get it off your chest. Another reason for me was to try to get someone to side with me. Look what I've gone through. You have no idea what they did to me. I want to get people to side with me. And lastly, it was just this, plain and simple, because I just wanted to. I just wanted to. And I can remember times when the Holy Spirit was giving me those warning lights, getting ready to open my mouth, perfect time to share this. And the Holy Spirit's like, nah, 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 don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't go there. And there have been times in my life, if I look back at my life honestly, when I pushed right on past it, because I just wanted to get it off my chest. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk, any, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See how unselfish that is? Only what is helpful is to come out of this thing that we call our mouth, in order to help build others up according to their needs, so that, and it goes on to say, so that everyone who's listening will be encouraged. So that it will benefit all those who are listening. It's not just about the person you're talking about so that they'll be encouraged. They might not even hear what you're talking about. But even those who are listening to you, it's your spouse, it's your friend, it's the person at work, so that they will receive benefit as you are talking about so-and-so. See, it's not just what we say to someone that needs to be helpful and encouraging. It's also, and maybe even more importantly, what we say about someone that needs to be helpful, needs to be encouraging. So if we could just stop for a moment and do a little inventory. How do you talk about your spouse when the spouse is not around? How do you talk about that kid from school that gets on your nerves when they're not around? What labels do you give this person or that person, or maybe do some things different than you do, or value some things differently than you do? How do you speak about that coworker that has been very frustrating lately when they're not around? That boss that's made you upset? The pastor who didn't wave at you or whatever it might be. Well, what do you say? What do I say? See, it's not as much what we say to a person that needs to be helpful, although it is. It is about, and the focus of this message is right here, it is about what we say about the other person when they're not even around. That really serves to show some things. Well, what does it show? What we're going to see in these two verses nestled in James chapter 4 is that negative speech says more about you than it does about others. In other words, when negative words come out of my mouth about someone, when negative words come out, I make a loud statement actually about me. When I'm saying negative things, I'm telling everyone that's listening some very key things about me, even more than what I'm saying and what they're hearing about others. Negative speech says more about me than about others. James chapter 4, verse 11, we see this first statement, I'm above the law. What we're going to see in this passage is that when we make negative speech, when we do negative words or say negative things about someone, we're saying, I'm above the law. Now let me illustrate this. How many of you have ever gone past the speed limit when you're driving? Anybody here? All right, good. My wife's not the only one. All right. Most of us in this place have probably gone above the speed limit. How many would say, and all the cops, if you could just close your eyes for a second, how many of you would say that you consistently go over the speed limit? How many of you would say you're consistently lying right now? You see, I think we would all agree that speed limits are good for society, don't you think? I mean, I think it's a good thing. Why? Because there are some terrible drivers out there. You've seen them. They do not know what they are doing. Now, we in this place, you raise your hands, we've taken driver's training. We owned it. Passed with flying colors. We've watched the movies with the high-speed car chases, right? We know how it works. We know how to handle that car. We've got some uncommon skills, can we just admit it, when we're driving. And not only that, I mean, there are some times when you get up extra early because you just want to spend time in prayer, and you've spent so much time praying, now you're in a hurry, right? And you're just like, I got to get to work. I prayed too long for my coworkers, and now I got to get to work. And so as you're driving, you're thinking about, okay, if I get pulled over, these are all the reasons why they should not be pulling me over. There are drug dealers out there. You should take care of them. I have important things to do. I'm an important person. I'm praying right now. I'll pray for you if you let me go. Now, what are we saying when we speed? We're saying that we are above that law. We're saying that that is a great law. Honestly, I want us to have speed limits in this world. But aren't there times you're just like, but that doesn't really apply to me because I'm in a hurry. You have no idea what's going on with my kid right now. I got to get home. I got to drive a little faster. Or I could just cut off a few minutes on this long distance trip. Bump it up, bump it up, bump it up. They're going fast. Well, I'll go fast too. What are we saying? We're saying that we are above the law, that that law doesn't apply to us in that moment. And James says right here to the hearers, to the believers, it's not about speeding, but this is what he says. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And this is what happens as James unpacks this, that when we speak against someone, when negative speech comes out of our mouth about someone, we are actually speaking against the law. We're actually saying, oh, that's not for me. That doesn't apply to me. I'm above that. And we might ask, well, which law? Which law is James referring to? And if you go back to the Old Testament, you read that God had given the Israelites many, many, many laws to help them understand his character of love and holiness, to give them principles to live by. They'd come out of slavery in a pagan world, and God needed to teach them how to live and be people of God and to survive and to succeed and to excel. And so he gave them all of these laws. But then when we go into the New Testament and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come on to the scene in physical form and they ask him about the laws because there were so many that they were trying to keep, so many they're trying to memorize. And they said, well, what's the greatest law? And so Jesus quickly tells them, the first and greatest commandment is this, love God with all your heart and soul and your mind, And the second is like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, all the law and the prophets depend on these. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, James would have been aware of this, and then when he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this letter to believers, he, in chapter 2, highlights this particular law, love your neighbor as yourself, and he actually called it the royal law. He called it the royal law. This is the king's law. This is God's commandment. This stands out. Love your neighbor as yourself. And after studying this passage, I really believe that James here in verse 11 and 12, when he's speaking of the law, is referring to this specific commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he's saying that when we criticize someone, when we speak negative about someone, when negative speech comes out about us, it makes a statement. It says, I'm above that law. I mean, yeah, I want other people to love their neighbor as their self. I want people to love me as they love themselves. Okay. But there are times when I kind of just want to push past that speed limit. There are times when but I want to go just a little bit over. I mean, God's not going to give me a ticket for going 5 over, is he? He's not going to give me a ticket for going just a little bit over in what I say. I mean, that law is good for everybody, but for me, are there times when we just say, you know what, love your neighbor as yourself, good, great, but it's not for me. I am above that. And James says to his hearers, look, this is God's law. And you're saying you're above God's law? That's what's happening when you speak against a brother. Judge a brother, you speak evil against the law. Negative speech says more about me than it does about others. It's the second thing, a second statement that I believe we make when negative speech comes out of our mouth about other people. It's this: I am above others. I am above others. Now, very few of us would say that out loud, right? I mean, very few of us would talk with someone and be like, you know, so-and-so, I'm actually way better than that guy. I mean, most of us wouldn't say that. We actually try to steer clear of people like that, right? They say that and we're like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with some other people that aren't that prideful. But when we say negative things about others, we're kind of saying that we're kind of above others. In our passage, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, only a judge. You're not a doer of the law of love your neighbor as yourself. We speak against another. We're just a judge. 4 times James highlights judging in 1 verse. That's a lot. 4 times in 1 verse, James highlights this, brings this up, this concept of judging. It's making a decision based on the information that you have, okay? And based on the information that you have, you now give your verdict. It's like putting on the judge's black robe and stepping up and saying, that person is, boom, like that. I'm going to label them here. I'm going to say some things about there. They hurt me, so I'm going to share that with other people, make them look bad. We're putting on the judge's robe, and we're saying, you know what? I'm judging them. Jesus said this, though, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the more times we judge, the more judgment we're just bringing on ourselves. Jesus went on, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus said. First take the log out of your own eye, and then obviously, I'm adding the word obviously, you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Boil it down. Before opening the mouth, look in the mirror. Before we open the mouth, we need to look in the mirror because very likely there's some weakness, there's some fault that we need God to help us with before we start highlighting them in other people. Interestingly, David in the Old Testament didn't want to have any part of negative talk. This is what he said. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. David didn't want to speak negative speech, and he didn't even want to hang around people that did. Nope, not going to tolerate it. Negative speech says more about me than about others. It says I'm above the law. It doesn't really apply to me. I am above others. I'm better than. Thirdly, I believe it makes this strong statement when we use negative speech about others. It's this: I am above God. Now you might say, whoa, Pastor Keith, all right, I've done some mudslinging in my day, but I've never said or thought I was above God. Verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? See, it makes a loud statement that, oh, I'm above God. I'm going to be the judge of that person. Interestingly, we see throughout the Bible that God is the judge. Many, many, many scriptures about God being the judge. In Acts, says he will judge the world in righteousness. In Corinthians, it says he will judge his people. It is the Lord who judges. God is the judge, right? He is the lawgiver. And James, in speaking and writing to these Jewish believers, was saying pretty much, I believe this. Well, who are you again? There's only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. Now, who are you again? What was your title? Who gave you the right to break God's law? Who said it was okay for you to think that you are better than one of God's creation, one of God's masterpieces? What was your name again? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, New Testament gives us instruction about biblical judgment of sin and confronting people. Read Matthew 5, Matthew 18, the letters to the Corinthians. There's so much in there, many, many other messages about that. But the focus of this message and from this passage, I believe, is what we say about people. What ways we make judgments about people and labeling them based on this, 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 and this. And James says, who are you anyway? I mean, there's only one judge, it's God. So let God do his job, and let's do ours. And ours is what? Love our neighbor as ourself. Negative speech says more about me than it does about others. When you speak negative words, you're making a loud statement about you, that you are above the law, that you are above others, that you are even saying that you're above God. It's pretty serious. And so as we end this message, I just want to give quickly some practical steps for us moving forward for anyone here besides me who has ever used negative speech, who's ever said things that you regret, who's ever said some things or some labels or this or that or whatever about other people. Some practical steps. First of all, repent. I've had to. Repent. God, I'm sorry for speaking against your masterpiece. That person is created in your image, and I've come against them with my words. God, you've made it clear how I'm to treat them and how I'm to speak of them, and I've willfully gone against your clear command to love my neighbor as myself. So by doing so, I have sinned against others. I have sinned against you, God. And then laying all excuses aside, I admit that I've been in the wrong, and now I ask that by your grace, I will use my mouth to speak for people and not against people. Repent. Number two, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. If you've said some negative things about someone else to some other people, unless the Lord impresses you specifically to go and to admit that person that doesn't even know you said those things, unless the Lord tells you to do so, my counsel would be keep it to yourself. Repent of it. And don't do it again. Because when you go to that person who didn't even know that you talked bad about them, and you're just like, well, I said some really nasty things about you. I just want to let you know that. I've told a lot of other people some nasty things about you. The person over here is like, what? Like, who all's heard that? Does that make sense? Keep it to yourself, unless God tells you otherwise. Number three, love yourself. You might think, well, that's kind of strange being in this list. But often the reason we're negative toward others is because we are negative toward ourselves. Let me say that again. Often the reason why we're negative toward others is because we actually are negative toward ourselves. And as we begin to love ourselves as God loves us, as we begin to see ourselves through God's eyes, then we can begin to see others through God's eyes. Love yourself. Number four, slow down. Before it comes out, slow down. Slow down, big guy. James said, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. So ask yourself, before saying it, if this person that I'm talking about were to suddenly walk in on the conversation, would I still say it? If that person was listening in, would they be built up? Is what I'm saying in their best interests? Are my words benefiting them in any way? Am I more concerned about their best interests or mine? And this, will this cause others to respect this person that I'm talking about more or less? If it doesn't build up, shut up. If it doesn't build up, shut up. I need to tell myself that. We need to tell ourselves as we go through this week. If it doesn't build up, but I want to say it so bad. If it doesn't build up, shut up. Number five, ask for help. Ask for help. See, it's possible to have taken the path of negativity, of negative speech so many times that it's well-worn. It's easy. It's natural. And you just go down that path all the time. You don't even have to try. Ask for help. It takes a mature person to find a trusted person around them and say, would you listen in on my conversations? Would you listen in when I'm just talking? And if I go negative, if I start to speak negative about people, alert me, tell me, because I don't want to go there. Ask for help. Number six, obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. I've listened to some people who spill out negativity like a volcano. And I've listened to some others that spill out positivity and positive speech like a chocolate fountain. And here's what I've seen. I've seen footage of people running from volcanoes. No, they don't want to be touched by it. And I have seen little kids, maybe even myself, running to chocolate fountains. Hey, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. So when you come into that fork in the road and you're making the choice, am I going this way or am I going this way? Am I going to do negative speech or am I going to build somebody up? The Holy Spirit is going to alert you, listen in, and then just follow his leadership. Be a chocolate fountain. Number seven, just love people. Just love people. I mean, it's not always easy, is it, to love people? But can I just say this? It's not rocket science. It really isn't. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How will people know that you are Jesus' disciples? Well, it's because I go to church all the time. It's because I give to missions. It's because, Jesus said, it's if you have love for one another, then the world will know that this church is for real. The church, the world will know that we are Jesus people, that we are Jesus followers by how we love each other. And Jesus gives us the example. 1 John says this, this is how we know what love is. We're like, well, how do I love? What do I need to do? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Whew. I mean, what would it look like if we in this church all loved each other like that? And I see so much of it. As we move forward, what would that be like for a church to love each other like that, where we lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters? We serve each other.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.